You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Addiction, addiction, oh, addiction, addiction, addiction. Oh, ba-da-da-ba, ba-da-da-ba. All right, I'm on my third cup of coffee, and it's 12:30. Welcome to Kill Me Now. Kill Me Now!
Good theme song.
Yeah, it's good. You know why, Leonard? Because I wanted for the theme song.
Yeah.
By the way, this is part two of Lenny Marcus. Lenny Marcus. We're here with Judy Gold, who is the host, creator, pretty much does everything.
Star.
Hennessy, who is here. And then we have Leonard Marcus, Lenny Marcus, comedian extraordinary.
Hello.
Part two, because we weren't done. We weren't done. And sometimes that happens with people we enjoy. We're not done. So listen, I am on my third cup of coffee, as I mentioned.
What kind of coffee?
What kind?
You always have the best coffee.
Well, it's the Zabar's Dark Espresso Blend.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. Now, my cup is a mug. So, and I'm not taking my Ritalin today, so I'll just drink.
This will be a fun show.
What happens?
Nothing. You know what? My psychopharmacologist thinks my brain works better with it.
Right.
Does
it?
I think when I'm teaching like a four-hour class or something like that, it's helpful. I love the revving up. I love the feeling of, because I'll crash.
I don't get that rev.
Doesn't that rev like you're going to do when you perform or you're going to teach a class or whatever it is? Don't you get revved up?
Right. So it's, right. So if I take it in the morning,
right.
It's
helps
yeah.
you wake up. Does it help you wake up?
Yeah, I think so. I'm on a very low dosage because I lowered my dosage because I didn't like the boom, 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 boom of my heart. So, but I don't take it all the time. But, you know, I'm doing Shakespeare in the Park. I don't know if I mentioned I'm doing Shakespeare in the Park.
I believe you have.
Yes, it's
and
getting
so,
such good reviews.
Is it getting reviewed?
Yeah, well, no, not reviewed, but people are writing about it because they've been
Where?
Coming to the previews and stuff. Just on Facebook. On
oh, I gotta go check that out.
Yeah.
I gotta check it out, bitches! And so, you know, we've been rehearsing in this heat all day, 12 to 5.
Oh,
brutal.
God, that's insane.
And it's just, I mean, I can't even tell. And, you know, some of the cast, one of the cast members is 65 years old. There's another one in her 60s. And we're in the heat. Not, I don't think 60 is old, by the way, or 65 is old. But, you know, I'm 53, and I was, like, almost passing out.
Yeah.
When is opening night?
Opening night is June 13th, but we close on the 26th. So it's like we open and we're open for 2 weeks because it's the park because then the next show comes in. That was me having a little sip of my coffee. So it's been, you know, I have no time. Like I literally am so tired. My body aches and yeah. I'm not even Janet McTeer, who's Petruchio, and Kush Jumbo, who is Catherine, and Donna Lynn Champlin, who is Hortensia. I mean, they are in fights. They have now, this is my favorite, because they have, you know, when you do a play, they're like, you have to be there half hour. So that would be 7:30 if the show starts at 8. So they have these other calls. They have wig call. That's when the first people start getting their wigs on. And they have fight call.
Huh.
Which is when all the people who are doing fight scenes, go out and practice to make sure everything, you know. And I said, oh, I have a fight call every day with my girlfriend. Hey, now. Then I was like, oh, we should have fight call. That's what we should have. Every relationship should have a fight call at 7:15. You can fight for 10 minutes.
That's great. It's and like then a purge.
That, yeah, and then that's it. Then you're done. Come on, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Do you fight with your...
We not really, like, nothing. I'm the one who nitpicks probably mostly at her.
Like, what do you say?
Clean up this shit.
Does is she just a slob?
She's not. She's very. She likes clutter. It'll grow, and it'll grow if I don't reel it in.
Oh, so she has ADD.
No, I think it's just she just doesn't. I don't know. She claims she doesn't see it. It doesn't bother her as much. Like, this doesn't bother her. I'd have to. I'm the one who's got to organize everything.
I'm the same right. in my yeah. relationship also.
Yeah.
What?
I pick up and put every make sure everything's put away and has a place. And
you can't find my home movies.
Oh no, I have your home movies. It's the a holiday year. Weekend. There's so much media that Judy is getting digitized.
Yeah.
I tried to do it myself.
That's a lot of work. It's
so
a pain in the ass.
I bought like these devices to help yep. me do
Wait,
it.
Wait, you bought
like,
them?
I bought a couple of them, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I did. And
did.
You bought a couple too. And so I'm trying to digitize these. And it takes so fucking long.
But
so
I like, have, guy, you know...
Oh, my God. And then we ended up moving, and her sister wants them back. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to take them to someone professional that has, like, the...
Yeah.
You know, the digitizing equipment where they can just, like, put it in and load it, and it's done.
Is it expensive?
It's expensive.
It's like
that's
$25
why I was trying
a
to,
tape.
That's why I was trying to do it myself.
This people, you can give it bulk, and you could...
Right. Yeah, you give it to him in bulk. Yeah, so I'm waiting for a quote now, but it's, yep. since it's a holiday weekend, they're taking forever. I'm sorry, boss lady.
Yeah, right. Listen, where did we leave off with Leonard? First of all, wait, can I just... I'm going to do the new things that have happened to me this week.
Okay.
So all the girls in Shakespeare, I mean, I'm working with, like, major actors, right?
Right.
They all juice.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, it's all like juice. I'm going to juice. And I'm like,
oh,
and I just read an article, not Jews.
Okay, juice.
And I just read an article about how it doesn't matter if you juice. You know,
right.
It's like ridiculous.
I've heard of that too.
So, you know, we got this sponsor, Organifi. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try juicing. Right?
How's that working for
So I did. First, I was very Jewish about it. And I just took the Organifi powder and put it in cold water and just forced myself to drink it. And it wasn't that. And I was like, oh, it's not that bad. But that was just like, I got to get it over. It was like a colonoscopy drink, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah.
that I would to myself. But it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't bad. And everyone's like, why do you have algae on your face? And then.
She's just doing lines of
because,
this Organifi.
Because I didn't stir it. And I was just like, so then I was like, wow, it really I don't know. It's probably psychological.
Wait, you don't put that in juice or something?
No. So it's powder. I have some.
No, it gives you a boost.
Yeah, definitely gives you a boost. So then I decided, all right, I'm going to try different things. So one night I did the Organifi powder with avocado. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to put milk in, but Ben and his friend Matt LaFrance decided that they were going to drink all the milk the night before. So I just made a smoothie with avocado in that, and it was really good. And then last night... I did banana, milk, ice, Organifi, and I put a little Ovaltine chocolate powder in there.
Nice.
Amaze balls. And it's like, and that's my dinner because I was usually eating something. And then by the time I got on stage, I was like, you know, because you're running around and it's so hot. I got to tell you, this Organifi stuff is great.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah. This isn't even an ad, people.
I know, this isn't
like
an ad.
Real,
they didn't
stuff. What's
real
in it?
Real deal.
Oh,
it's like this kelp, green algae. It's got all this
coconut
stuff,
powder.
Spirulina, chlorophyll, all this stuff that, you know, we get from plants that makes us feel alive.
All right, that's good.
And I'm feeling alive!
So you can get rid of all the other
nice
pills.
Belt.
Yeah. No, not really. So
we're working on it.
So yeah, that was good. And I also have to say that, you know, the true, what is it called?
Third Love?
Third Love bra.
Yes. Yeah. I bought another one for Hamda because she loved it so much.
You got to get
a
Jennifer.
Bra.
This Nina. Is a bra. Wait, just listen.
All right.
You don't know what it's like, okay? Mm-hmm. To have these boobs in the summertime.
Yeah, bro. You think you'd play with them all the time? Yeah. It sucks, though, after a while.
All right. Anyway, I got this Third Love bra, and I was like, oh, because I get really fancy bras at the town shop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a Jew. And
legit, she'll come home and be like, oh, I just talked to my lingerie guy. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah.
Blah.
And I got, you know, I get these because I want... whatever. Right. And they last forever. So anyway, this Third Love, they send me a bra. It's like, I made the Shakespeare in the Park people order me a Third Love bra.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where it's do you so get them? Online?
Yeah. And do we have a discount code?
Yeah, we do.
Hey, boss, how's it going?
So, you know how every time I go home, I immediately take off my bra.
Yeah.
And my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
it's kind of a little ritual.
Like, the first thing I want to take off is my bra.
Yeah.
So,
you're amazing at it, too. Like, one-handed.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really good. Because, you know, I'm a lesbian. So I've taken other people off as well. Anyway.
I learn from you every day.
Thank you. And I have some like really fancy bras, you know, but I have to tell you, I got this Third Love bra. Okay. Can I just tell you something? It's like a t-shirt. I don't even need to take it off. I take off my shoes, my socks and my pants and I leave my bra on. It's like, I'm not even wearing anything. It's great because, you know, in the spring when you go through all your drawers and you're like, oh, I've been wearing this bra for 4 years and it smells and it has like sweat stains on it.
And the underwire's all popping out.
Yeah. This thing is so fucking comfortable. I can't even tell you. It's called Third Love. For 30 days, you can start a free trial right now. You go to thirdlove.com/killme. And... thirdlove.com/killme. And I'm telling you, it is the most comfortable bra I've ever owned.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
I will tell
it's awesome.
Gina.
It doesn't have those lines.
Gina?
Gina.
Why did I say Jennifer?
I don't know. So I was trying to correct you.
Jennifer.
No,
wait, who?
Gina.
Didn't we? What the fuck is wrong with? I got to take my Ritalin.
No, man. You're.
You don't have to take a pill because you forgot a name.
I know. I'm kidding.
Okay, so this is where we left off with Lynn.
Yeah. So yes, we left Gina. Off with you.
Stop taking pills, people.
You know what? I had a clinical depression and I, without medication, don't know. And so now I'm in this panic mode. If I don't take it, I'm going to have another clinical depression. But honestly, I recall the times when I didn't have to go, oh my God, I have to take my pills. And my life was much better.
What,
I mean, I think.
What started it?
What started the pill
the
taking?
Whole thing, yeah. It had to be an incident. There's always an incident. So you have to get through the incident. You don't need any more pills.
I think I know.
Now, I'm not going to be a clinical psychologist.
No, I started before I was pregnant. I started taking something for anxiety. I've always had bad anxiety.
Me too.
I think you're going to be on vocal probation.
Oh, no, not again.
Yep, VP, vocal probation.
Oh, where's all this anxiety coming from?
It's been, you know, if you look at videos
she's
of me...
She's bouncing in her chair as we speak.
Yeah, if you look at videos of me in the crib, I'm just banging my head. I banged my head on the pillow till I was 13 in order to go to sleep.
Wow.
I just think I came out like that.
Huh.
But I've definitely had coping mechanisms. Like, I was a runner, like 10 mile. What do you?
Well, I did this one time on Keith and the Girl. I said, just go for a run. And oh my God, I got hate mail for weeks about like, you just can't go for a run.
Right, you can't.
You're depression. I'm like, I know, I was joking.
Yeah. Well, you're listening. I mean, Keith and the Girl, all of their listeners are like, you know, depressed nerds.
Everybody's
is that
depressed.
True?
Oh no!
That's
not true.
I
that used to be true 10 years ago.
Mine
but no,
came about. Mine, you know, I was anxious before it was all this med stuff. I didn't start taking I started taking an anti-anxiety in like the 90s.
Yeah.
Just a teeny, what the hell was it called? It's very basic, whatever. And then I got pregnant and I didn't want to take pills because I'm like, I'm not going to be funny. And then I got pregnant, and when I was pregnant, I was euphoric. I mean,
right.
I think that my pregnancy and my breastfeeding time were the only times I ever felt like what a normal person feels
wow.
like.
Wow. What is that?
I think it's hormonal, but I was like, it was like an epiphany of, right. oh my God, so this is what it feels like to just get up and go, have your life yeah. and not never. Feel guilty, anxious.
Huh.
You know, OCD, you know, and I was like, this is amazing. And then, you know, the minute I stopped breastfeeding, went back to wah, wah. But I've done, look, Leonard, I meditate.
Yep.
I work out.
Yep.
I play piano, clarinet. Yep. I really do everything. I was in such a bad clinical depression that they wanted to hospitalize me, but thank God Elisa is a therapist and kept me out of the hospital. But I worked my ass off, like cognitive behavioral therapy. I mean, you just need tools, and you have to realize it's not my physical you know, if you look at my you know, my levels of everything during that depression, mm-hmm. it is so vastly different from my levels of everything when I'm not depressed.
Right.
So it is literally a physical.
The question I have is, does something just set it off? Is there one thing that sets it off, or is it just overwhelming?
I think
one day you wake up and go, uh-oh.
No, I woke up. I had just finished doing the Judy Show in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And that show was about the story of my life. Right. And, you know, so I think that was a trigger. I had just put my mother in a nursing home. And I found out I was like $80,000+ in debt because the person who was...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This story gives me so much anxiety.
Someone who was working for me was paying my taxes on a credit card. And so, I mean, and I was like, oh, my God, I've worked... You know, I work like all the time.
All the time.
And I've saved, and I have nothing. And my mother's, you know... My mother was like, I put her in by myself. So, you know, my siblings were away. Well, my sister was whatever.
It's overwhelming.
And it was just like, when am I going home? And I knew she was never going home. And it was just like that question, how long am I going to be here? I was like, oh, my God, I can't. So I think that I had gotten divorced from Sharon in 2004. I think I never really processed how that was going to affect my life and my financial life.
Right.
I just think it was just a perfect storm of
definitely
doing that show, going through my dreams and hope. I woke up the morning after. It was like January 2nd or 1st in this hotel in Washington. And I looked to Elisa. I said, something's wrong and I can't talk. I mean, it was awful.
The question is, now that you've been through it on the other side, can you work through that without medication?
I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
So I know that a lot of the work I did was not medication.
Right.
And I'm very aware. First of all, mental illness is such a tangible thing.
Right.
You know, my mother would say every day when I was going through this, are you better? Are you better? Are you better? Every day. Are you better? I'm like, no, it's not
help.
Like, you know,
yeah.
but right. I knew she wanted to, she just
helping.
Wanted me to be better.
Right.
Right.
That's what I do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I don't say it every day. Are you
right.
better? Are you better?
But, you know, this feeling of complete and utter hopelessness,
mm-hmm.
this feeling of if I die tomorrow, thank God, because right. I won't have to wake up and feel like this. You know, it's a real thing, and people really don't understand it. They don't. They think,
not
oh,
if you
well,
don't have it. If you don't have like me, I don't have that.
Never...
I don't experience that. So it's like it just doesn't compute. All,
right,
like,
right.
Totally.
And me, I've always thought of myself as someone who's found coping mechanisms. I mean,
right.
like we're comics.
That's great.
Yeah.
And humor is
yeah.
how I've coped.
Right.
And you know, I had diurnal depression, which is, I've gone over this before on this show, and there is one listener who's like, you know what, Judy, we've already heard all your stories.
I call Judy Dad. And you can do that too.
Dad, we've already heard all your stories. Anyway, so at
Dad's
night,
gonna repeat stories.
When the sun went down, I would feel relieved.
Huh.
And during the day, I was completely paralyzed.
Definitely.
And so,
I didn't even know that's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
William Strian had nocturnal depression. So when the sun went down, he got really depressed.
Yikes. Wow.
So I'd feel, and I realized at that time, I've always felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt that at the end of the day, when the day is over and there, I can't do that, I'm like, okay,
I got through it.
So it's just, it's like, it's your brain.
Do you tell your solo writing students before the class, do you tell them that they're going to go through a clinical depression probably if they're doing a solo show? Do you talk about that?
Hennessy, I don't say. I say you're going to have to deal with stuff that you don't want to deal with.
That's true, yeah.
To get to the point of your story,
right,
if you're doing an autobiographical thing. And then, you know, they're always like, I don't want to write about that. And it's like, I want you to write about the thing you don't want to write about.
Right.
Because that's the story.
Yeah. That's
you know, and
stuff.
They get, and you know, the ones that trust me are like brilliant. They're just, oh my God, I'm so glad I did. And then after they do that, if there's another part and they're like, you know what, I really don't want to go there, I'm like, okay, fine, because you already went to this place to
right.
get to the but they will, you know. It's just a matter of
that's what triggered my depression. I was in Judy's class and I was writing.
See, that's why that's a really good commercial for my class.
And I now I have a brilliant show that I'm ready to start submitting to festivals all around the world. So.
And I plan to be in the bed for the next 6 months after it's over.
I really, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I didn't plan for that, but I was. I was for about 6 months, right? And it was
You better
awful.
Get a lot of these shows in the can, so
I know.
Oh, no, no, no. I already went through this last year. Judy went through it with me, so that was great.
But it was, you know, you have to deal with it. I'm telling you, there's so much. You're a guy.
Yeah. So, what a dick.
All right.
I don't know. Girls
do have a lot going on.
I know, but I've talked to I talk to men on Twitter and Facebook who are depressed and hopeless, and it's just like
it's not
awful.
About being a guy. Lenny's just like
I know
his chemistry is like
Lenny's
set.
Simple. You're simple.
I keep it simple. I don't know. I don't get it.
Do you get jealous?
I mean, I'm also a tranny, so I'm living a duality. That might add to my daily depression.
Back to you.
Well, you got a lot of stuff.
Not back to
me. I'm a tranny. I have a tranny. I have a men's knee. They fit me with a men's knee.
I know. That's true.
That's why I'm a tranny.
That's why you're my dad.
Wait, so Leonard, you had some questions for us.
I did have a lot of questions for you. What do you want to talk about? The meds first? Like, how many meds are you taking?
Okay, so...
And is it bad... Like, if you got off all the meds, like, literally tomorrow...
Right.
Or weaned off of it...
Right, you have
like
to wean.
We got to wean. So, let's say it'd take a month...
More.
All right.
Yeah, but
and
if you
got down to zero, what the fuck would happen?
I don't know.
Could you now get into a... Like, if you had a therapist or whatever, get
I
into
have
a state
therapist.
Where... Okay, then fine. Could you get... Do you think you could get to a place where you could just deal with it through therapy and comedy or... You know,
that's what I did my whole life.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know,
and then you just
look, I'm 53. So I have, you know, I'm going through pause. You know, there's different factors.
Do you think when you get to the end of M, you'll be calmer? Because...
I would like to. No, I think it's my chemical makeup.
OK,
so panic. So I take Paxil for panic.
OK,
which is.
Like when you have an attack or every
no,
day?
I take it every day. So I remember for years after, well, it's, I guess I was still depressed. I wake up and I was in a complete and utter panic, terrified. I can't get out of bed. I can't, you know, awful, scared, just scared. And that is the worst feeling, to wake up and for a millisecond you're like, oh, I've woken up, and then panic.
Yep.
So that's for panic. And then I take...
What causes that? It's just chemical
makeup. No, it's a chemical thing.
Okay.
Then I have I take Wellbutrin a little bit.
What's that?
It's an antidepressant.
Every day.
Every day in the morning, and that counteracts the Paxil, you know, not having an orgasm thing.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have to have full sexual. I need.
Got it.
What is it called? Happy ending. Okay. So I take those two. I take small doses of those.
Okay.
Okay. Then I take a lot of vitamins. B12. I take methylfolate. They're all just, you know.
Right.
Vitamins. I take my Ritalin, small dosage.
And that helps you
as needed.
Just focus?
Yes.
Okay.
Because otherwise I'd be in here, I'd be at my desk, like in the middle of doing something, idea pops in head, get up, start doing something else.
Right.
Then go, fuck, I never finished that, panic, go to finish that. I mean, it's like you can't even. All right. Then I take trazodone, which is a sleep. It helps keep me asleep.
Okay.
But it's also an old, very old antidepressant. Is that it?
I don't know. The Zoloft makes her puke.
Coffee.
Occasional.
Yeah,
Zoloft.
I mean, I've been on everything. I've been on lithium. I've been on Zoloft.
What about the side effects to all these drugs?
I'm just fat. I've gained 27 pounds.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if you remember when I was really hot. I think, you know, but it's better than waking up and being hopeless and scared and, you know, accepting yourself. And there's many articles about people who have messy desks and messy, that they're very, very intelligent.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah. And people that talk to themselves are a lot of times geniuses. Just like.
That's all I do.
I know.
I have like conversation.
Full conversations with yourself.
Oh my God.
Here.
Yeah.
Like, is it a different voice?
Oh yeah, it's
like
voices.
Judy.
What?
It's different
accents.
Yeah,
sometimes it's. I have Yael,
who's Israeli.
Yeah.
It's like, Judy, what is wrong with you?
Sometimes it's her ex.
Yeah,
it's people from her past.
Yeah,
it's her
my ex.
Yeah, her mom will pop
in. I'm doing it. I'm laughing at the same time.
No,
it's not
hilarious.
Like I go into
it's a
another
whole play.
Oh, it's not Sybil or anything.
No, it's just like
it helps her with her filing system.
Right. So
amazing,
it's like
actually.
I'm doing something and I'll be like, you know, my ex, Judy, why are you doing that before you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand, you know, and it's really, I never thought about it like that because I was just entertaining myself. But it really is my brain like. Processing. You're an asshole. You're an asshole. You're an asshole. Stop it. So, you know.
But she'll also defend herself.
Yeah.
So she'll come up with all these arguments against herself,
you'll fight against
and then
the
she'll
voice.
Come up with the defenses and the reasons why, and it just keeps her moving forward.
You should tape that.
I've taped it.
You have not.
I know. I really want to get some GoPros in here. Sure, I have.
I have my
the
GoPro.
Apartment and then just.
I agree.
You have to show me how to use my GoPro. Do you know how to use a GoPro?
Yes.
Will you show me how to use it? Wait, hold on.
One of us have to show her.
I'm going to read you. Wait, can you go on top of my music books on my piano?
Yes.
There's a thing Ben wrote for me for Mother's Day, so I have to read it to you. But, you know, the problem with the mental illness, people, there's a judgment. Like, well, why do you need this? Why do you need insulin if you're a diabetic? Okay, so here's one of my...
Maybe you just haven't tried the right guy yet.
Happy Mother's Day to the best mommy in the world. You are the best mommy anyone in the world could ask for. I love when we always say we're going to go to bed on time, but we don't. I also love when you have 20-minute long conversations with yourself. Love, Ben. And then he drew a picture. 20, right? First Mother's Day where I am the tallest.
Aww,
that's really so cute.
I love that kid.
What a love bug.
How old is he now?
That was
He's
so
14.
Thoughtful.
And when did he write that?
A Mother's Day.
What, this past month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why, you think it's a little...
No, I thought it was like when it looked... I don't have my
glasses. Like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, it's like an 8-year-old.
Because...
I thought you were saving this.
No. He's very bad at drawing.
Oh. I can't see
Actually, that's a really good world that he drew.
Well, he does. He's got very good handwriting. You know, a lot of the kids have terrible handwriting.
He does.
They're on
Nobody writes anymore.
Right. So yeah. I make him write shit for me.
Yeah.
That's nice. He does. That's he's a cute. Note writer, too.
Wow.
He leaves notes, you know, or he'll leave little reminders for her, like, Mommy, remember your lunch tomorrow and stuff. He's such a good guy.
Oh, man.
No, he'll...
He's cool. Really cool.
He's a great kid. I write That's for him, that fucking post-it on the door.
I left one for you, too.
Yeah, so I think that people need to realize that if you're on meds, that, look, I'm sure there are people who are like, you know, I'm really depressed because of blank. I need something. That
was my point.
Right. There are people like that, but there are people like that.
They have a bad day. I think we over-medicate now. Yeah, like, there are people who need it.
I think there are people who are like, I need an Ativan.
Tell you a story?
Yeah.
Since I saw you last, broke three ribs. Okay.
What?
Broke three ribs.
Are you okay?
Fine.
That's in a week?
In this last week, I broke three ribs. Stupidest story ever. Trying to kill a bug on the ceiling, right?
Right.
So anyway, the next day, she's like, do we go to the emergency room? I'm laying on the floor. I'm like, just get me ice and two Advil, okay? It's not coming through my body. I'm not going to the hospital.
Right.
Like, it takes a lot for me to go to the hospital. Next day, her and her mother gang up. I mean, you got to go to CityMD or whatever it is.
So, I like CityMD.
They're good. I go to urgent care. The guy takes an x-ray because you broke a rib in the back. Okay. So I go, all right. He goes, there's nothing they do. They don't do anything for it. I'll write you a prescription for whatever, pain meds. Take them, whatever. Okay, fine. And I'll write you a prescription for a muscle relaxer because that'll help you sleep, whatever. Already, I'm like, I'm not taking anything. I lived through one day with two Advil. That's it. Sunday, that was on a Thursday. On a Sunday, the phone rings. It's CityMD with a follow-up call.
Yeah, they always follow up.
They follow up because they don't want to get sued or whatever. You know, they give it to a doctor to look at x-ray.
Right.
They go for special. That's their, protocol. I like it. It's really good.
I do, too.
Yeah. So they give it to a specialist who reads x-rays. You broke three ribs. Okay.
Not one.
Three. Okay. They want you to go to a specialist. Make sure you didn't do anything. So they sent me to the specialist. Like, yeah, you broke three ribs. He writes me two prescriptions for other. I have five prescriptions for pain meds. And I'm looking at all of them going, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not taking any of it.
Right.
Yeah. I could take an Advil and be done with this. They're like, well, you know, your pain tolerance could be high. I'm like, yeah, maybe it is. But, you know, I didn't. As soon as you do that, what are the side effects to your medicine?
Right, but you know what?
So I'm just saying we're so quick to medicate.
That's true, but
mental illness is totally different.
Okay, can I say something? I get it. And you could sell those because that's... But
probably.
Now, I'll give you two examples. So my brother had broke his hip on a bike. And I'm telling you, he got a hip replacement and only took Tylenol.
Yeah.
He would not, but that's because he would rather suffer, you know.
Right, he has anhedonia.
Anhedonia, I've decided he has, which is the disease where you get no pleasure out of anything. It's a Jewish disease. Anyway.
Some call it masochism.
No, it's anhedonia. Oh, right. I said if I'm ever a drag queen, my name's going to be anhedonia. And I'm just going to be fucking miserable on stage.
Oh,
yeah, what's your
so
name?
Bad. Don't make me that
sorry.
Bad.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So, but when I have my knee surgery.
Yep.
Which is one of the most painful surgeries ever. They had to force me. I mean, I took it because I had to because otherwise I couldn't do physical therapy.
Right.
But I have asked for. I just got a prescription because I was doing Shakespeare and I couldn't move.
Yeah.
And they had to give me a shot in my knee, and I have it, but I don't use it. But I just have it in case. Something horrible happens.
Big
but
one.
I don't, you know, it's like what
I had to get on stage this weekend. I took one of those just, you know, because I got to get on stage and I'm breathing and, you know, I can't just be like cringing every 2 seconds.
Here's the thing, though.
Today
America,
I'm not taking it.
America doesn't really have vacation time. You know, they're overworked. I think Americans, I mean, whenever we have a natural disaster, not even a natural disaster, a storm is coming toward New York, okay? New Yorkers are very overworked, they freak out, right? They freak out. They want to shut down the city. Do you think that's because they're scared of the storm? Because I don't. I think it's because we need a goddamn break, okay? And so if someone is giving you a legal substance to take advantage of, it's almost like a little mind vacation. I think that we as America are a perfect storm of addiction. You know, it's like we get that taste of chilling the fuck out. And of course we get addicted to it and want to take advantage of it when a doctor gives it to us. It's legal. You know what I mean?
The snow day is not a great example because they have to do
similar.
But they have to do that because if people die, they're going to sue the city.
Not just that. No, I think New Yorkers take it overboard because okay. they don't want to go to work for one.
Really? What
day.
About L.A. where they have one fucking raindrop and they're like, Stormwatch!
L.A.
Stormwatch! 16! Stormwatch!
Keep naming major cities where people
okay.
are overworked.
Okay, but yeah. you have to admit, these fucking phones yeah. and computers, yeah.
Constant.
There were people who were... Now when you think back to your grammar school
yes.
and you go, oh, that one must have had Asperger's or that one must have yeah. had this, you know. So you get that. But now this stuff is so bad for your brain.
It's making it worse. Absolutely.
It is so
bad. Anybody who has a start of ADD, as soon as you put the phone in front of them, you just enhanced it a million times.
I mean, I believe that, see, like Ben handwrote that and I make him handwrite yeah. I go it's whenever there's a birthday, what do you want? I want you to make me something. Mm-hmm. There's something about
creating
writing yeah. and creating
yep.
you know this writing by hand helps depression.
I believe it.
I write. I never type anything into the
right
thing first.
I have right. I always
something
write
about
it out
that,
first.
The physical connection.
Right. There's a book about right. that too. Cool. My sister knits. She knits and crochets.
Yeah.
That is the same thing as meditating. They say it has the same effect.
Anything creative that just get out of the rat race for a little while.
Go play practice the piano. The piano.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it gets you out of your fucking.
You got to change it up. Change up your thought process.
But it's also that people are so overwhelmed, you know, now they don't have enough money. They don't make enough money at one job. They right. have kids. They have this. It's fuck. I thought, oh my God, my kids are little. I thought it was so hard. It's much. I have a 14 and 19 year old.
Yep.
It's even friggin' harder now.
Yeah. You have
yeah,
to keep
because
it
you can't see them and take care of them. You have to take care of them from afar a lot of times.
Right. So you give them freedom and then they fuck it up. You know, like,
mommy. Yeah. Ooh. Plus you also pick the hardest thing for yourselves, you know, as an artist. You know, you don't know where the money's coming from. You
I
don't
know
where the jobs are coming from.
Yeah.
Like, you put yourself in an anxiety-ridden situation.
Right, which...
Rather than going to work 9 to 5, you know...
I could. I'd be dead. I'd be on major drugs if
definitely.
That's what I did.
That's
I'd be
I'm
in
saying.
A fucking mental institution.
There you, go.
You know, and I know my family's
You'd be a great
like,
office manager.
Oh, please.
Get it done!
I know my family thinks, yeah. you know, like my niece. She's an amazing artist. And my brother and sister-in-law... We're like, you know, no, you have to be a teacher or something. You know, like, you're not going to be an artist. No one makes it as an art. And it's just like, when I hear that from parents, it's awful. And she's now like, she's a principal, you know, and head of this art department at a great school. And she's, you know, well, she's only in her 20s. She's amazing. But it's like.
But she can still do her art at night as
right.
well.
Right. So, and that's satisfying. Well,
they're just telling her, you know, and I don't disagree with this now. When I got old, I really respect my parents for saying, like, have the thing to pay for life because it's so hard to make
okay,
it as an
but,
artist.
Okay, but, you know, when I started.
Starving artists is a bad way to go.
It's a bad way to go. But, like, when I first started doing stand up, I worked in an office.
Yeah.
I was. You know, in an advertising agency, I was an assistant, and I'd go in the elevator and I'd do my, I'd practice my stand up when I had to go to another floor, and then I'd go out and do, you know, sets at night.
Yeah.
And then when it was like, okay, I'm making enough money, like if I had to go middle somewhere for like $800 for the week,
right.
I'd be like, okay, so I can live on that, but I need health insurance. So I would typeset.
Right.
At Sharon's company, I would literally typeset all their articles. I type really fast, and I code it, and I did enough hours that I had health insurance for the month.
Wow!
And look, that's a great.
But that's yeah, and that's responsible.
That's right.
Right,
and that's all your parents are saying. That's all your
well,
right,
artists
but they're
really
saying,
creative at finding ways to make money.
Right, but it's also now it's a different world now because now you can work from home. You know, you can. You
and
can do things for people from home. You could be a courier. You could be this. You could do social media. You can do QuickBooks. You could do, you know.
But you have to figure out that a way to make money, especially to live in New York City.
Right. Well, now you can't. I mean, when I came here, you could live here. Now you can't live here. You got to move to Queens.
There's different challenges at different times and
life.
Now is the time to buy real estate in the Bronx, I think is what we're saying here.
The Bronx, maybe.
Now, what, does Gina take anything?
She was taking like a low dose of whatever, the lowest dose of some anti-anxiety, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you really need this? You know, because at some point we might have a child. So I'm like, do you need, you should probably get clean as you could possibly mm-hmm. be. And I'm like, are you still in that state? You know, she'd been taking it. I'm like, all right. So I think she's weaned herself off it. And yeah, she definitely has that thing. You
right.
know, that, whatever that cloud is that you guys
right.
talk about.
The black cloud?
She has a little bit. And I, you know, no matter how many times you hug her, it's not going to get you out of
no.
it. So
no.
She can't explain it. And
it's not about you.
And I get it.
No,
it's
not
about me.
It's totally chemical.
Yeah,
could
it's
be
totally
genetic.
Chemical. And I'm
it's
like,
whatever.
I'd rather you, why don't you just go talk to somebody, you know.
Does
like,
she meditate?
No, but she's working on other ways to.
Yeah,
just...
meditation has really helped
and
me.
And you know what? And knowing that that medication helps her and is there is a really nice.
It can also be a placebo
fallback.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know,
it's hopefully...
so it's good to know that it's there. And it's really amazing that we actually have, like, what did mentally ill people do before we had any of this stuff to be able to help that?
Oh,
you know?
My God. They were
it was
put
like
in institutions.
Hunt.
Yeah.
No, it's totally. This helps a lot of people, but
I
do think there's a fine line. The only point of this whole thing was that there's a line between people who really do need it,
bingo,
and people who just want a quick fix.
Definitely,
in today's world, just give me a pill,
right,
to fix my problem.
Well, the doctors get so much money for prescribing
so
those pills. It's
but it's also
system.
You can say that with
everything.
Disease. Yeah, of course. It's like, you know, you see obese people. I have nothing against obese people. Right. I mean, you know,
it's your
but
choice.
If like I've gained a lot of weight and I feel it in my body.
Yeah.
So when I see other people who are big or overweight or, you know, I'm like, I know if I lost 20 pounds, my knees probably would not hurt as much.
Right.
But it's so difficult for me to do that. But it's not like I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to work out and do whatever I can. But, right. you know, some of the stuff we cause ourselves.
That's right. And I think people, if you could take responsibility for yourself also once in a while. I mean, I think at this point, 2016 or whatever it is, you know.
Oh, it's everyone's
it's a lot
fault.
Of people, it's everybody else's fault.
Like, that's
yours.
Bernie. Bernie is like, you know, he becomes a fucking Democrat last year. He's been a Democrat for a year, and he's like, oh, this system is rigged. You haven't even been a Democrat. What do you mean it's rigged? These are the rules. This is how it works. You don't like it. You don't like it. You can't just become a member of a party and for 1 year and then decide, oh, all right, the system's rigged.
Was he an independent?
Independent.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that makes
and
sense.
And then
everybody else. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He so really cool. is a blame everyone else.
All right, let me ask you a question.
But he also says he wants to fix it. So
right,
like,
he does, but there's no how. You say how, and it's there's no how. It's like, yes, we totally agree. These are bad problems.
I think he's got some ideas.
He
That's
definitely
why he wants
has,
to debate.
No, Trump did that as a big. That's a so that Trump.
Oh, he's
Sanders
a
debate. Let me tell you something. And not having the person who is going to be most likely the Democratic nominee, who's a woman. It's like two guys talking about what an asshole Hillary Clinton is. That's what that would have been.
Oh, you think?
I think it would have been a little bit of
that. Oh, I don't know
about
that. I don't think. You really think, though?
I don't think Bernie
anybody,
tries to target Hillary.
I'm not political at all.
I think
do
Bernie's
think,
a feminist, actually.
Do you think when it comes down to Hillary against Trump that the world will finally see that? I mean, he's crazy, right?
Well, I mean, he's going to be debating a woman who is so
much more educated, much more eloquent, much more. I mean, at some point,
and policy
the world goes,
knows policy. You know, how many times can you go, yeah. Bill Clinton cheated,
right.
And you did this? It's like you cheated on
yeah.
your wife. Your wife, you know,
yeah.
said you raped her. I mean, it's like
yeah.
that's not. Who cares? We're running a fucking country. People can't eat in this country.
Do you think that people will finally get it? You know what I mean? I think
don't know.
Gonna be like a big light bulb go on. I really do. I think it's.
I hope
bury
so.
Him like,
but I, you know, who knows? Because look at all these fucking angry white men who are like, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's reached this.
Yeah, but
these
if half the country is women,
yeah, but
there's
they
no
still
way.
They hate Hillary.
Oh, come on.
So many 70-year-old women hate Hillary.
Why?
Because it's a reflection of them, I think.
And she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing as a woman.
Meaning?
Meaning she's from a different generation. And if Judy's talking about these 70-year-old women, right? Like, I mean, you really should be putting the... You should be putting the man first. No, man, these 70-year-old women are brainwashed, too.
No, not all of them.
Not all of them, but the Republican ones are.
But I'm saying, you do have to realize women in their 70s and 80s are the ones that... got Roe v. Wade passed.
Right.
And
true.
They're the ones, you know.
This should be a
slam dunk.
But
a lot of them, though, are still like, stand by your man.
No, some of them. Yeah. There's 50-year-olds that are like, it's Republican. It's this whole mentality.
You live here.
You know.
Exactly, yeah.
We live in New York City. You know, I met plenty of 70 and 80-year-old and 90-year-old women who are for GLBT rights, who fought. They're the ones
right here
who watched their mothers bleeding on the couch, who watched, you know, people die from these, you know, they're the ones who got these Gloria Steinem. She's 80.
Right.
That's the generation, the Bella Abzug. Those people are the ones that got us our rights. And now this next generation is forgetting. And like, oh, yeah, well, no, that's not going to be a problem. I don't have to worry about that. You don't look at this fucking guy.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think I do think once people also, you could say whatever you want, but once they get in the booth and they have to pull the lever.
Well, you have a lot of
faith.
Yeah.
I have big faith in that.
What were the other questions you had?
The other question that I have for you is like, okay, we're from basically the same generation. Like back in the day, nobody was gay. You know what I mean? Like, they were gay, but nobody was gay. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
one
when
was
I
out.
Went to school, nobody was out ever.
Right.
Like, I didn't.
Right.
I'd have to go back and look at the yearbook when I went to high school,
and you'll go gay.
I don't even know if I could go
gay
because they were so. Oh, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, I'd be clueless. I'd be absolutely clueless. I'd say somewhere in the mid-80s, AIDS changed everything or whatever, but like mid-80s, like, oh, that guy. Even when I left college, people were like just when I was leaving college, there were people like, then it started. You know, everything started. But. So when you look at the progress over your lifetime, happy, sad, amazed, we could do more. Like, now, I think life has changed a lot for, you know, the LGBT community.
Right.
I look at it as like major progress for not only LGBT, but like black people. Like from the years we were born to right now, there's been amazing progress.
I think that it's every one of the things you've said, like happy, sad, amazed. I was gay. I knew I was gay, like immediately. But I was like, oh, I'm different. And then I didn't realize. You don't realize why
was
until.
Your anxiety, could there have been an anxiety from that? Could it stem from that?
Oh my God!
Once out, was there like this huge?
Oh my God! I will tell you that being in the closet.
Is the worst.
Is the most painful.
Yeah, I believe
it's like you're living. It's like you're a fraud.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and you're evil.
No, you know that
like
you think you're horrible. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of self-hatred, but it's also like,
well, I was evil.
You know what? If you're gonna pull, now you've opened both bananas. Learn how to fucking pull a banana off. Now take one of those bananas instead of that
Mrs.
one.
Oh my God!
But the banana skins are very frail.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, but when I think of what it feels like to be in the closet and to lie, and to have everyone think you're someone you're not, is that. I can't, it's like you get PTSD. I have to tell you that in high school, I knew I was gay and there were a bunch of gay people and no one ever talked about it. The first time I ever told someone, it was like an out of body experience as if this entire person had lifted out of my body and was watching from above.
It's amazing.
And
that's a really good way of putting it.
This, you know, fake person
disconnect.
And it sort of, it was really unbelievable.
Is it euphoric? Is that what you...
I don't know if it was euphoric.
Like this huge relief or...
It was, because that was only one person. I hadn't told my parents. I hadn't told... it was really terrifying.
Yeah, because it's like, it's set into motion now.
Right, so now you can't go back.
Yeah, right.
So then, and then as I got into college, and I we weren't all gay, but I did have a girlfriend my junior year. But I, by senior year, between junior and senior year, I stayed on campus. And that, and I, we had all realized that our core group of friends, everyone was gay.
Wow.
In that group. And it was fascinating. I was like, no, you are, and you are. And we call it the summer of 42 because we just, we had the most amazing time together for that summer. And then when I came out of college, no pun intended, you know, my parents didn't know. I knew. I met Sharon. We lived together, but totally in the closet. And then it was like, you know, when the AIDS crisis really was the defining, there was Stonewall and then there was the AIDS crisis. Yeah. Because during the AIDS crisis, I have discussed this on the show. Sorry.
Oh my God. All right. Whoever wrote that letter.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Kill me now.
The AIDS crisis actually brought, it was horrible. People couldn't be in the closet anymore. These men were walking down the street. You knew they were gay,
well,
and you knew they had AIDS.
People, yes.
Right. And who came to their rescue were lesbians. And it really made our community one. It was gay men and lesbians. And now this crisis, I think, was that Harvey Milk, yes. Stonewall were the impetus of, hey, we're fucking people. You know, give us our fucking rights. You know, these men are dying. They've been with their partners for 20 years. They can't even visit them in the fucking hospital.
There were ambulances that wouldn't pick you up if you had AIDS because you were considered gay and dirty. And there were secret numbers that people
okay.
would pass on.
I know.
It was like amazing.
Okay.
So
now,
fast forward to I have kids and I'm out on stage.
Yep.
Because I never, you know, I came out on stage as a gay mom, basically.
Right.
Because I was like, my
so it's
kids,
like night and day, like it, like just stuff.
It's
saying,
just
like
I'm not
it's so ridiculously night and day.
It's
right?
Like I am, you know, who the I press. Am, and you know, you can say we have progressed because we are out, and there are people who are out. But you know, if you think about it, a lot of people come out after they've been successful,
absolutely.
And they have their money,
right?
Like maybe you know, I came out in the mid '90s, and. You know, it was like, don't say you're gay, don't be Jewish, don't be gay, don't be Jewish, don't... And it's like, that's who I am, you fuckhead.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure it affected my career.
Of course.
And there are still people, as you know, who are in the closet and won't admit it.
Yeah.
And, yes, I think that, you know, they're openly gay. That's why the fact that they have to say openly gay... You know, maybe it shouldn't be openly. Maybe it's gay straight, but you still have to say openly gay.
Or maybe let's stop thinking about each other's peepees.
Right. Well, it's, you know,
well, that
it's
was
not
my next question.
Right. So
isn't it just stupid at this point?
Like, it's
so completely
right,
it's
but,
so exhausting.
Okay,
yes.
I can't. I want to continue
yes.
this. You know, the fact that, you know, I have relatives who were like, why do you have to have a parade? You know, why do you have to have a parade? I don't have a parade for being straight. No, you have everything
for
being straight. Why do you have to call it marriage? Why can't you call it something else? Because we're human beings, and marriage is marriage. It's not like, well, you do this, and straight people do this,
okay?
Well, the
people who are saying that, like, how old are they?
Some of them are fucking, what's Ted Cruz's age?
Right.
45 fucking years old.
Well, I mean...
Marco Rubio.
Yes.
These are fucking people who have gay friends. Chris Christie. I mean, fuck you. You're telling me that I am with another human being and we have two children who are happy, healthy, educated, civil, you know, just great additions to the world.
Yes.
And their family is not valid, doesn't have the same protections as every other fucking family. You're telling me that someone who gets married on The Bachelor, that marriage is more valid than two people who have been together for 30 fucking years.
So the answer to my question, so it is, you're super happy, but we have a long way to go.
But we have a long way to go.
Let me fast forward.
But wait a minute. You have to see the rhetoric of these people. They use gay people as the scare tactic. Now they're using trans people as a scare tactic. Half of these people, 99% of these people know a trans person and don't know that they know a trans person.
Right.
And the same thing was with gay people. You know, when Dick Cheney's daughter came out, then he was like, oh, Well, she came from a mom and a dad in the fence. She's gay. You know, when John Huntsman's son came out, oh, okay, I'm for gay rights. You know, all these people do not know who's trans and who's not trans.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to talk about bathroom behavior like they did with white and colored, okay, thing. You go back to the bathroom.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. When I'm on a plane, it's not...
Who cares?
Who gives a shit? Right. I have to take a fucking shit.
Right.
You want to know? Jerry Sandusky is not trans.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I was jerking off in the men's restroom the other day. It was so hot.
It's just... It's this scare. You're not like us. Look, we've been around forever. Trans people have been around forever. Right. And so when you say, yes, it's gotten way better. Yes, we don't have to hire a lawyer every time. We used to have to get a lawyer to, you know, when we traveled with the kids. Yes. And, you know, we don't have to get a lawyer to vouch for everything now. But there are trans kids, gay kids in the middle of like Montana and Nebraska or wherever who are listening to this religious shit,
right,
and rhetoric and thinking they're nothing. They don't belong on earth.
Well, that's where it's all from.
Right.
Yeah. It's all come the Bible.
Yeah, God, Bible.
Yeah. Bible.
And
it's,
you know what?
Causing all the wars, right?
That's what causes everything. And it's also
what?
Either read the fucking thing and get the good out of it.
Yeah.
Don't have it think for you.
Right.
You know, learn how to think for yourself.
And that's really the bottom line.
Well, the
learn
Bible,
how to think for yourself.
I mean, it's the biggest mass control weapon that, you know, leaders have.
In some ways, it's good, you know, like, because some of these people just lose their minds. You know what I mean? Like, if they need some sort of discipline. That's
right, but
about.
It's also
yoga,
like...
Yoga, rock climbing.
They're all the same.
But there is side effects to that as well.
Right, but it's also like, the Bible says this, so I blank.
Right, people get addicted to AA and treat it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of
judge
course.
You know, yeah, the Bible, well, I can't do that because that's what the Bible says. You can look, I'm a Jew. I'm a practicing Jew. I love Judaism. Do I believe, you know, half the no, I believe in the community. I believe in the major tenet of Tikkun Olam, which is to heal the world. That is what Judaism is about, is making the world better.
You also enjoy the traditions. And
I love the traditions. It makes me feel connected to all the people who died to be able to sing, you know, a fucking song or light a candle.
Yeah.
You know, do I believe every...
And you have a lot of that in your life.
Well, that's humanity.
Right.
That's just...
But I don't judge other people and other religions.
That's
I'm not like
religion,
you're Catholic,
Judy.
So blank, or you're Baptist, so blank. No, no, I'm like, good, you have some faith, and wherever you get it, that's great. But every fucking word, like, you think these Hasidic Jews that won't sit next to you on a fucking plane or touch your hand, you know,
they're just as crazy
they're just
as the rest.
They're horrible.
Well, they're so, I mean, backed up. They end up doing these awful things anyway.
It's right. Such an OCD thing. People who are just overly religious, it's an OCD thing. I have
Bingo.
To do this.
Bingo.
At 8 o'clock, I have to pray. Then I have to go here.
Yep.
Then I have to pray.
Yep.
It's like, it's having your entire life mapped out so you don't have to deal with anything.
Oh, it's
funny.
Great
we were just
for OCD
talking about
people.
That.
Yeah.
You'd be a great Orthodox Jew. You'd need this.
I was a great Christian.
Yeah.
I went to ex-gay therapy and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had the every Sunday and the this and the that. I went to Christian
it's hard.
College. It was so stimulating to me.
Deprogramming is probably...
Oh, it's a
stressful.
Bitch. It's a bitch.
It's guilt.
A bitch.
It's
but
like
now
guilt.
I have to find
guilt.
Other yeah. things. I have to find other boundaries and disciplines. I have to find other disciplines to keep me on track.
Right.
But come
let
on.
Me, let me go 50 years
wait,
ahead.
Before, wait, can okay, I just say one last thing about this, you know, tranny and that they're going to molest? The Catholic Church has covered up so much molestation.
Yeah.
They still are.
And, duh. And... For them to be talking about trans people the way they are, as if they are molesters, it's unfucking believable. It's unfucking.
They're just trying to get the attention off of them.
Of course.
Look at all these guys.
And look, the world's coming to an end because look what's happening over there.
Yeah.
Because of a bathroom. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I again, 50 years from now, we're not even talking about this. You know
right.
what I mean? It's the bathroom is the bathroom.
Right.
Whatever. You got to go to the bathroom.
But the racism
the door,
is
you know,
terrible. It's still terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's
racism
like,
is bad, but it's got, you know, like eventually I think everybody is always, there's a wrong side of history, you know, that whole thing. There's tons of wrong side of history.
Right.
And eventually, everybody kicking and screaming, we go progressively, at least this country, into the future.
Well, I'll tell you that one of our cast members, who is a very successful actor, is married to a very successful major megastar actor. And is black. Went home at dinner break to her Park Avenue apartment, or she lives on Madison Avenue in a very amazing building. The doorman said, "Do you want me to get you a cab?" She said, "No, I'm going to walk to Park because it's, you know, then I can go downtown and he doesn't have to go around the corner." She came in tears. She waited 25 minutes until a cab would stop for her. Yeah. They turned their light off. And now, this is a 65-year-old woman wearing, you know, Gucci and this and that, and, you know.
It's terrible.
She's like, "I forget. I forget because I live in this amazing world that I forget." And it is beyond ridiculous. And that's what fucking Trump does with the Latinos and the Mexicans and the, you know, it's like,
and the Muslims. And the people who are passing her by as a black person are probably, a lot of them tend to be Muslim and also a minority that has been, you know,
marginalized.
Completely marginalized. And they're the ones passing this other marginalized group. What, you know, these leaders just turn us against each other.
I mean, look at fucking, what's his name? Asshole, piece of shit, Cruz, with the New York values. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, he's in
New York values.
Meanwhile, he's amazing, had five affairs. Yeah. Like, they're all hypocrites.
Yeah, he's probably had a couple dicks, too. He's
he's too
so homophobic.
Ugly. I can't believe anyone would fuck him. Ugh, he's gross. Yeah. All right, anything now, for question. Money.
All right.
In 50 years.
In 50 years, yeah. Let's go fast forward ahead. What are we done with this? Every people are just people.
Who knows? I wish I could be here to, you know, witness it. My kids will.
How about 25? You'll be here for 25, maybe.
God willing, I'll be here for 25 more years.
She'll be here for 50 years.
I really hope so. But the fact that women can't get, you know, abortions, you know, that it's now becoming a crime that they can't. Huh. Women's health is, you know, these men telling us, you know, Planned Parenthood, what is it? 1-2% of their work is abortion.
It's ridiculous. Right?
Who the fuck are you? You don't want to have an abortion. Don't have a fucking abortion.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to, this kind of baby. It's a human life. Okay. What if that baby is trans? What if that baby is gay? What if that baby has mental illness? You gonna fucking take care of that baby?
Exactly.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
So hope
for the future. It's a human life unless they're trans.
It's a human life. And then when it comes out, if it's not like you, it's not a real human fucking life. Go fuck yourself.
Hope for the future, yes or no? 25 years.
I do have hope for the future. Did I ever in my life think a gay person could get married?
Yep.
No. Did it ever cross my mind? Absolutely not.
So it does happen. It's just the pain and suffering, right?
Right. It's the pain. The problem with in 25 years and 50 years is that are they going to forget what all these people went, what are the history books going to be?
This. We just spoke about
this. Yeah,
the history gets whitewashed, you know.
Right. And, you know, look at what's going on. You know, there's Holocaust deniers. Right.
Yep.
There's, you know, slavery deniers. There's all this shit, you know. What is going to.
Deniers. Oh, my God.
There got to be slavery deniers. I mean, maybe there aren't slavery deniers.
They wanted to be slaves.
But
oh no, there are. In fact, they wanted to be slaves. That's something interesting. I just saw a video recently somewhere in the South. Okay, they have these plantation houses that they do tours
right.
of. That black people are still playing the roles of these, you know, servers and things. You know, because it's nostalgic and when America was great. And
when was America great? Go. That's what I want to fuck. No one asked him that.
Has it even gotten great yet? So. they ask, you know, these white people, like, well, don't you think this is a little weird, you know? And they're like, actually, you know, our family had slaves, and the slaves were, like, part of our family. We knew their names, and we helped raise their kids, and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, they knew their names, but none of their fucking, you know,
so
whatchamacallit, offspring now know their names.
Thank you so much for calling me by my name, Massa. You know what I mean? It's like they lived in nice houses and shit, yeah, that they had to fucking clean and... ripped away from their families, like, but they do.
and raped
absolutely time and time again, and but they do say that,
yeah, but
yeah,
they,
the slaves enjoyed themselves,
and they needed different bathrooms and different areas, and, you know,
yeah, we saved them from that horrible African country.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, you're a minority, it's life has been tough.
Yeah. Really, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you're not white, a white man in this country, yeah. I mean, all right, so now let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
you're a white man,
pretty much. White Jewish man.
Yeah, so you got the Jew thing. Okay, but you're a white man.
Yeah.
One strike.
Do you see the injustices of women? I mean...
Yeah, all the time. I mean, how could I not? I wouldn't be here with you guys if I didn't... You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
You know, if
but
I was...
do you see also see the things that you get from being a guy? The way your life is different?
I don't see it as much as you see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just do what I do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But
and
I
you
do,
don't have to think about certain
I
things.
I don't think I have to think about it.
Right. Right. That's the
and
difference.
And that's fun. You
and
know,
that's cool.
Yeah. That's good too.
But the difference is.
Wait.
That, I'm sorry.
VP right now. I want to hear what he has to say. Yeah.
No, I don't see it as much as you see it. That, you know, like, my life is just my life. I just do what I do. You know what I mean? I have been, you know, I do feel it sometimes for the Jew thing. You know, I mean, people will not let you forget that.
Oh, I get shit all the time.
And
you hear people saying stuff to you that they think isn't anti-Semitic, like, oh, that's because you're Jewish, or all right, enough with the Jews. You know, like,
Anything that somebody can get an angle on to make you feel worse or whatever. But I'm very, you, as a comic, you're well aware of people's behavior, and that's what we do. I'm well aware. I could pick out a person. I could look across the room as you can and just see a person go, I'm not. They're not going to like me.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
Just when we have a conversation, and 30 seconds into any conversation you have with an audience member, after can be really
right. You never know.
You know, they will burn your house down in 2 seconds.
Right.
But, you know, like, it's everybody just lives their own life. I can't change.
But do you like, you know, look, if you're up for some sort of comedy thing or like a special or something, like, and you don't think, oh, they're only going to pick like two white guys ever. Like,
I do think that sometimes. I do think that they go, some of these things have gone out of their way to pick. You've seen every TV commercial is one white guy, one black guy, one Asian guy,
right.
One and every
guy,
every,
guy, guy, guy.
Yeah, well, woman, whatever. Like,
right.
Well, I just saw a trailer for like Joel McHale's new show. We were talking about this guy, and it's the Asian girl in the office, the black guy.
Right.
Like that doesn't happen. For you know, the Benetton ad doesn't walk into a McDonald's together,
right.
But it
right.
does on TV.
Right.
You know, and then Comedy Central, when they hand out their... You watch their Comedy Central specials that they hand out every year. It's... There's a quota in there. Yeah, maybe...
Right.
But there's plenty of quota. And if I said, okay... And also... So it works. It can work both ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? It can work both ways. Because if you see any comic go up for something, you go, oh my God, I didn't get a look at that. You know,
right.
I didn't get an audition for that. I mean... Are they better than me, or is this one of the... And yeah, I get
of
it because they don't want to deal with the write-ins of, you know, why don't you have a black woman on
right.
the show? Why don't you have white woman on the show? Why don't you have a...
That's part of the transition that we're in right
of
now.
Of course. It's just like there is no meritocracy, especially in show business.
Right.
It's just that's not what it is.
Oh, show business is like
it's
fucking
the
high
word.
School.
It's high school.
It
it's
is so high school.
High school.
This one's hot. This one's not. This one's a druggie. This one's...
You know, when I passed at the strip, Lucian took one look at me. The day I passed the strip, I was in this business like 3 years.
Yeah.
And he just went, well, like just watching 6 minutes of my act. And told me my life. You know, like, he goes, well, you'll never be the lead in a sitcom. You'll be the next door neighbor in a sitcom. You know, like, he told me all the shit that I wasn't going to get because, oh, the world will never change. Right. The world can't
That's
see the future.
That's not true, though.
I mean, none of it was true.
No.
But that the first time
it
I
auditioned. Was only true at that moment.
No. I auditioned for him. I think I must have been 19, 20 years old or something. I was still in college. And he said, you know, you're female. You're very funny. You're female. You're Jewish. I don't really know if there's a market for Jewish female comedians. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you heard of Joan fucking Rivers?
Yeah. But even she had it tough because they wouldn't, you know.
All right. Right.
Yeah. Johnny went out of her way to fuck her. At
yeah.
The end of
and
the
they
day.
Wouldn't
yeah.
even fucking light the lights on, you know, on Broadway when she or dim the lights when she died. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's so slow. The snail moves really slow. That's why I tell people about their comedy acts when they ask me, like, how do I get on Letterman, or how do I gotta go? You're in year one.
I hope that you, slow, you know tell I mean? Them yes. they're never gonna be on Letterman. I hope yeah, that yeah. that's something.
There's not a market for you on Letterman.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah.
But no, that look, we the final thing I have on my little agenda here
yes.
that we didn't speak about is the business side of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Also a horror show. That one I would think would be is in the 20 years I've been doing this has been way worse for women.
Yeah.
Because every manager in the city wanted to fuck you, right? Or they wanted to, you know, they didn't know what to do with you, or the, you know, like
well, it
that's
was always,
way worse for women.
Yeah, well, it's like you, they get, you know, they get a client,
yeah,
and then it's like, no, you have to be, you know, I was always told blonde hair,
yeah.
straighten it, don't talk about Jewish, don't talk about gay, you know. Be the and you'll get work. And it was like, no, but that's not me.
Right.
I can't do that. You know, I'm not Caroline Ray.
How about now?
Now I
do
could give two shits.
You could give two shits.
Right.
Do and they I, give two shits?
I don't who fucking
I
knows.
Manager,
I am who I am.
The
I
level
don't fucking
that
care.
I've been at or whatever, like unless you get somebody in Hollywood who's a manager and who's big time, like the people that we started here, the we don't want to name names, but the people who are in the level that when you started in New York 20 years ago, the fucking worst. The fucking
well,
worst.
Well, they
some
only remember you as you were when you started. That's
right.
Number one. Number two is people don't realize if you have a manager and an agent and a lawyer and whatever else you fucking have, it doesn't mean they're doing the work. You still have to do the work.
You
have
work.
To write the stuff. You
That's
have
right.
to reinvent yourself. You have to tell them, I want to go out on this. I want to go out on this. I want to do theater. I want to do this. And create it yourself. They don't do anything. They mm-hmm. want. They negotiate the deal so that they don't treat you like an asshole.
Yeah, they're idiots, too. They don't know anything more than you know. So, like, for example, our friend or whatever, our common person, I once said, he goes, well, what do you want to do in the business? I go, well, I want to be a comic, but I also want to be a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I want to go to acting school. I want to learn right. how to act. I want to do all of it. I want to act,
yeah.
direct, write,
right.
and be a stand-up comic. And he goes, what do you want to do that for? What? Just work on your act. It was like, it was literally just this one thing because that's the way he would make money. You know, if I became an act that he could
right.
sell. The other shit was
right.
just taking that away
yeah, of
from
course.
Him.
Right.
So it's like,
course.
you suck. You suck at being a manager.
Right. So then once you realize you can't ask them anything creative.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. have to that's all your job. You're
that's
the
right.
artist and they're the business person.
Right. Don't worry
that's
about
it.
What
then
first
you
joke I'm doing. Like this you maybe you shouldn't open with that joke because the one time you saw it
right.
didn't work. Or the one time.
But it's also like that's why I don't invite like when I do shit and they're like, oh, I'll come with you to the. No, don't come with me.
Yeah, don't
stay
ever
in your office and do your work. I don't need a fucking babysitter when I do The View.
Yep.
I don't need anyone going to a TV show with me.
Right, because it's never about you. They never
right.
work in it. I already got the show.
Right.
You're working it for the next
Just
guy.
Just stay in your office.
Exactly.
And
then,
like Judy, have you seen Hennessy? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. Or they're bringing their other client over and being like, oh, I brought so-and-so
No,
here.
They do that like if you're not available a lot of times for something, they'll be like, but you know, I have Lenny Marcus and then
right.
you know
right.
it's not about you it's
right.
about them
Their
making
yeah.
fucking money so you have to realize you have to have a boundary and separate from them and say I'm doing this get me the most money I can get the most outs I can get
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna take the blame for anything that goes wrong.
Cool.
You're going to be the bad guy. That's their job, to
yes.
be the bad guy.
That's right.
But you have to create. You can't, like all these people, I know people call, you know, managers and agents, you know, I haven't had an audition. And, You know, look, if you're not getting auditions, take an acting class.
Yeah.
Mm. If or go.
That's true.
Do a, you a know, when you're in the community doing other shit, even if it's of a scene study class or doing something else.
Bingo.
You
meet people.
You meet people. You know, it's like don't call up and be like, why can't I get on that? And why can't I get on that? Because look, I ended up, I did 2 one-person shows. Mm-hmm. I've produced and written for other TV shows, other celebrities. I'm doing fucking Shakespeare in the fucking Park.
That's
I've
amazing.
Done several off-Broadway shows.
You had to turn down Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, touring with Cyndi Lauper and Boy really? George to do Shakespeare in the Park.
Just at the Beacon.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there.
Sorry, you got it.
Rosie.
Well, Rosie's doing a lot of them. But
she's out now, right?
That's funny. But it's just, it's Lenny. Really like people want other people to do shit for them. Like I said to Ben the other day, can you go get me, I need milk and bananas. And he's like, well, can't you just use an app or something? I'm like, no.
Go get the
What
milk.
The fuck? Get the fuck up and go out. App. An app.
For milk and bananas.
You know, for someone to deliver. You know, people are not going to know what the fuck, how to do shit.
Yeah.
I'll bring you milk and bananas.
Yeah, about a half an hour late.
Hard work, man.
Bing bong.
From Queens.
No, but it's, look, I've been rejected probably more than anyone. You're too tall, you're tall, you're this, you're that, you're loud, you're this. And I've been like, okay, just like Joan, I'm writing my own thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own thing.
You have to.
I'm going to.
But then you end up carving a niche that no one else can fit and that they can't pull you out of. And it's you.
Right. It's actually
just me. Just you.
Right. Yeah. But me has to keep.
Right. Keep drilling.
Doing it.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'll bring things. I freelance with a manager and I bring auditions to him that I got for myself. Yeah.
Well, then don't do that. Get a lawyer.
Oh, meh. He's fine.
But it's like.
I'm not there yet.
Just create your own shit and stop whining and complaining.
Yeah. That's basically the bottom
line.
And
like, you can't be jealous of someone else that got something because they fucked this one or they're friends with that one. You know, that's the way the whole world works.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's unfair. So just create.
Yeah, and surround yourself with people whose work you like.
I mean, there's so many people who are just types that are just going to constantly get work because they're this type.
Right.
I find that kind of boring.
It is.
You know? But they work and, you know, they have a nice life. Create shit.
Create shit.
Yeah.
Create
shit.
I'm getting that tattooed.
Fucking create it.
I think we should leave him with that. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Leonard.
Thanks
you
for
can be
us.
On any fucking time. You could co-host.
Whenever you can need me. I'm in the area. Dope. Your schedule is unbelievable.
Dope.
I love
sorry.
Legal. I know. But we adjusted, right?
We did.
I'm so
did.
Sorry. It's only because
this was great.
Of this.
Yeah,
it's
no,
only...
this Shakespeare thing has wiped you, for sure.
I mean, I've never... My body hurts. Like, everyone's body
a
hurts.
Run of in course. A Broadway thing, let alone Shakespeare.
Outside.
Unbelievable. Outside, in the heat. It's been 90 all
heat,
week.
Rain... Yeah. You know, there's no, I mean, my shirt is,
this is
soaked.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is, and I'll end with this. This is why you're Judy Gold. I mean, Judy Gold, that is a name. I mean, to me, that's always been a thing.
Oh,
but I mean,
me
when
too,
you,
yeah.
when you say Judy Gold.
That's a like, legend already.
Yeah, it really,
really?
Is.
Yeah, yeah, you're a legend, dude.
Like, people don't go, you know, like, who's that? I never, ever have to explain who's Judy Gold.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's
like,
so sweet.
Yeah, anybody I know in the world, like.
Me too. Yeah.
I'm going to do Judy Gold's podcast.
Yeah, not,
really.
Not comedians, too. Like,
no,
not
like
in
normal
the
people, they
world.
Know who Judy Gold is. You know, like that's.
Oh, Leonard, that makes me feel so good.
Yes, it should. Better than all those pills.
Oh, I know. And you got to write, you know, like.
You just, because you, this is why, because you work hard.
Right.
That's it. And you're the poster child for working hard and sticking to it and, you know,
and
whatever it takes. Remain relevant, whatever it takes. Like, I'm this, I'm not apologetic. And when you get on stage, and that's why everybody goes, we got to go watch what Judy's going to do because you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And that's what's the most interesting thing. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
You know, like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
At the bottom line, it's interesting. So that's why, you know, that's why you're Judy Gold. That makes me sweet. I mean, I love all the people
Leonard,
I know.
That's so sweet.
All right, let's end on sweet.
Oh,
what
my God.
Say?
I feel so good. I love
sweet.
You, Leonard.
Ah, kill
right.
me.
Leonard,
now.
Get the check. Right. So long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.